Anyway, praise the Lord. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's 2010. Feast of Tabernacles 2010. Everything's being recorded and audioed, and we're going to blow the trumpet. We always blow the trumpet for the assembly of the congregation, even though we are assembled.
Even though this is like the, to make it official, right?
Yeah. To
make it official.
Shabbat Shalom. Yes, Shabbat Shalom. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. And we're here again. And it's exciting, but at the same time, I was telling my wife on the way driving here, I said, can you see any little indication of it's the Feast of Tabernacles anywhere? Did you see any Jews? I don't even see any Jews around here. Anyway, it's very sad. But we are here today, and we're going to be as joyful as we can. Praise the Lord. Let's see, this ribbon, I can't seem to take it down myself either. So, I know, let's see, I'll try one more thing. There it is. I always try one more thing, and it works. Anyway, we all want a Messiah congregation, Kahal Chav BeMashiach. I really would love to start a Hebrew class one day. But that takes, you know, time, it takes effort, it's learning a language, and it's enjoyable because it's God's language. We are just part of the Adat Yisrael, part of Israel, congregation of Israel, Chag Sukkot. That's what we're doing today, Chag Sukkot. That's the feast, Chag Sukkot, booths, okay? However, it's also called Chag Ha'asif, and which is the Feast of Ingathering. And there's that little word that I promised people last night. I would just show you. Chag. Feast means chag. And it comes from the word chagag, which is right there. And it's a primitive root, properly to move in a circle, to march in a sacred procession, to move, to observe a festival. It's to be joyful, celebrate, dance, keep, to keep. It's something solemn. It's a feast, a holy day, okay? And that's what Chag is. So that's why we're here. Praise the Lord. You know, I keep having this crazy imagination. Could you imagine if all the newspapers and the TV you put on, it's just a Feast of Tabernacles, and there's signs everywhere, and just like, da-da-da, just like they do for all the pagan stuff. I mean, I'm not kidding. Halloween and Christmas, those pagan holidays. I heard a statistic the other day, I can't remember, but it was in the billions of dollars they sell every year on those holidays. But God's holy days, nothing, no one. And then all the messianics and the Judaism and us, everyone's doing it on a different day. It's so confusing. Everyone's got something different going on. You can't even get that straight. So, I don't know. However, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and anoint today, before we start. Would you mind standing? Heavenly Father, Lord and God, I pray you wash us in your holy blood, Lord and God, as we approach your holy throne as priests and kings unto the living God. Heavenly Father, I know you see us down here on this planet, even though we are just dust. Lord, I pray that you'll acknowledge us today because we try to keep your holy day, your Feast of Tabernacles, with everything we know. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll bless and anoint everything that's said. Let it be to the glory of the living God and the edifying of the body. I pray that people can understand this ingathering, this Feast of Ingathering, Chag Ha'asif. Lord and God, that it's the final ingathering one day in someone's lifetime. We praise and thank you, Lord and God, for your holy days and your feasts, that this world has been blinded from them. Satan has kept them hidden. But I thank you, Lord and God, that we can see them and try to practice them. Lord, we know it's been many, many years since people have done this. And here we are again, like Ezra and Nehemiah, Lord, finding the word of the Lord and keeping your holy day. Bless and anoint everyone that's with us today, everyone that's on Pal Talk. Bless all the people around the world that don't even know we're alive, that keep your holy day, your Sabbath. and your Feast of Tabernacles today. I pray one day, Lord and God, you'll send the word of the Lord to us. You'll send us, Lord and God, a revelation of yourself. Lord and God, bless and anoint the rest of this day in Yeshua's name. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, today is, we can't even get this in people's minds yet. It's Ha Etanim. Yes. It's not Tishrei. It's not New Year. And today is the 15th day. And we're going to be doing the Feast of Tabernacles from the 15th to the 22nd. And of course, for everyone's benefit, I'm so happy that the Sabbaths are on Sabbaths, because there's four extra Sabbaths in the seventh month of God. And these two happen to be on the Sabbath. You know, my ministry, even though I say it a lot, I think about it sometimes, my ministry is to bring up things in the Bible that's never been discussed, never been mentioned, they've been deleted from your life. Things God wants us to know. They're right in the scriptures. And I don't take credit for any of this, because it's right in the Bible. There's things I hope that you find and tell me one day. They're right in the Bible. Just that we have to read the Bible slow, and read it prayerfully, and read it carefully. Today is September 25th. Here we are again, 2010. Isn't that amazing? That's the Gregorian calendar created by Pope Gregory from the 1500s. However, we're in the seventh month of God, Ha'etanim. Like I said, it's not Tishrei. And we don't want to follow Babylon like Judaism is doing, or Messianics. That's from Babylon. Tishrei, it's the Babylonian New Year, which is ridiculous, has nothing to do with God. And we're commanded in Jeremiah, learn not the way of the heathen. And the custom of the people are vain, so we don't do that. We're trying our best not to follow that. That's Jeremiah chapter 10. Check those verses out. There's the word Ha'etanim, 1 Kings 8:2. Make sure you have that memorized, because some people are still thinking it's Tishrei. Even the Karaites on their website call it Tishrei, which is ridiculous, because they're not supposed to follow rabbinical Judaism, but they do. They're following Babylon, too. Anyway, it's Etanim, Ha'etanim, that is, and has to do with this perennial, overflowing, ever-streaming water. Has to do with the Messiah. And I hope you guys never forget this. The word Etanim, there it is broken down. The first and the last forever. First and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the word Neem, which has been lost. No one's ever seen that before. I thank God he showed it to me so I can convey it to you. It's not on any calendar. It's not on any Gregorian calendar, no Jewish calendar. It's lost. But there it is right there. God himself, the first and the last forever, the living waters is right before your eyes. And that one word that no one knows. No one's ever heard of Etanim, Ha'etanim. Anyway, you guys know by now it's not New Year's. I'm not going to keep going over that. And there's the verse that proves that it's at the end of the year. It says right there, the end of the year, the Feast of Ingathering, which is Tabernacles. It's not the beginning of the year. It's not New Year. So as we go towards the end of the year, this is what we're doing right now. So all you have to remember is this little conclusion, the little summary I did for you. It's not Tishrei. It's not New Year. It's not when the earth was created. It's not Adam's birthday, because Adam was never born. And so stay away from Judaism and some messianics that follow Judaism. And I'm only saying with a smile, but it's very serious, actually. You're not supposed to add to the word or diminish. God really hates that. Really hates that. All my studies, I spent 3 hours this morning, again, of my time. And I used for the Lord. I spent 3 hours putting everything on the internet. And I do it for everyone's sake, not for just me. I do it for everyone so you could read it. You could hear it, you could see it and hear it, okay? So the only thing I can't do is come fly to everyone's house and read it to you if you're too lazy. So if you ever say you missed a study, you're only kidding yourself, because it's 24/7 on the website until the website blows up one day, God forbid. Anyway, and I have an open request, if anyone ever wants to invite me to your congregation, to your school, to your church, to your whatever you got, I'll be glad to come. And I've already been to churches and schools and all kind of places. But I'll keep coming if you invite me. There's the website. You can just call me up, okay? Anyway, today is the Feast of Tabernacles and Sukkot. And I was looking in Genesis. The word Genesis is in the Greek. It comes from the Greek. You know, it's not really called Genesis. I don't even know what the names of the books of the Torah are, because they're all made up. Genesis comes from the Greek, and the word Bereshit only comes from the first few words in the text, in the beginning. So I don't know if God even had really a name to the Torah, to be honest with you. But we'll go along with Genesis chapter 33, 17. That's the whole reason it was created, with chapters and verses, so you can actually search. There's Jacob, or Yaakov. He journeyed to Sukkot. Isn't that amazing? There's the word Sukkot right there. And he built him a house. That's funny to me, because that's what Sukkot is. It's a tent, temporary dwelling, a house. And he made booths, Sukkots, for his cattle. See that? It says, therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkot. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you ever noticed that before. It's Genesis 33:17. So there's the first place I've seen it. And Leviticus were commanded, speak unto the children of Israel. That's Jacob again. Israel is Jacob. His name was changed by God. In the 15th day of the seventh month, it's not the new year, seventh month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah. And we're doing this unto Jehovah, not to anyone else. We're not showing you, not going around with this game about who's got the biggest citron or lulav or any of this nonsense. But this is a feast unto Jehovah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. That's why we're here. We're here because we were told to, it's a holy gathering, a mikra kodesh. And we're not going to do any work today. As far as working out there, we're told today on the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day we're supposed to build our sukkah and go get our branches. That's not considered work, because God told us to do that. But today's the Sabbath. 7 days you're supposed to make. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And on the eighth day is a holy convocation. So the eighth day again, which is next Sabbath, we'll be back again for a solemn assembly. Okay. Now this thing about offering an offering made by fire, we don't do that anymore because there's no Levitical priesthood and there is no. There's no way of doing that anyway. So I just hope that everyone's filled with the Holy Spirit. So I just thank God for that. And there's the word atzeret in Hebrew. That's the solemn assembly. And that's what we'll be doing on the eighth day. And there's the holy convocation one more time. I've said this numerous times. There's the mikra kodesh. There's the word mikra. And not only do we have a mikra kodesh, but we have a mikvah. The mikvah is the baptism. We were submerged in water. You know, I have a declaration. One day I'll present it to everybody of our congregation where it shows that you're supposed to be doing certain things. It's hard for me to give it out because our congregation changes so much. So I'm always scared to like present it because I want to make sure people are going to stick around. No use giving it to somebody and they take off. You know what I mean? Just like I have sent letters to people, to businesses and stuff with our church, because we're a legitimate church registered with the state of Tennessee. And I've written documents to people, signed it and everything to people so they can get jobs, and filled in all kinds of information, and they left us. Anyway, Leviticus 15:23-39 says, God says it twice for some reason, which I'm always curious for. He says, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Why he says it twice in that chapter, I don't know. Now this is a little extra added information. It says, and you shall take on the first day. That's Yom Rishon, the first day, which we did today. Today, this is the daytime hours of the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We're supposed to go get boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And today we're supposed to rejoice before the Lord, before Jehovah your God, 7 days. And it's supposed to be a rejoiceful thing because I suspect if you really, and me myself also, if we really were with the Lord at the final Feast of Tabernacles, it would be rejoicing forever. We'd be so can't even explain the joy we would have. It says, and you shall keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, not in the new year, okay? You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now that confuses a lot of people. We are all born again into the Israel of God. So whoever you are, you're now you're born Israelites. You are now joining the Israel of God. You're no longer of the Goyim, the nations. You shall dwell, it says, and the reason why we're going to dwell in booths, that your generations and the people around us may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. God brought us out of our ancestors out of Egypt, and he preserved them, kept them alive. You know, remember that? Their shoes didn't even wax old. And their clothes, how about that? And he fed them with manna 40 years, and he gave them water to drink in the wilderness, and he did it all for them, but they still didn't like it. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. And I am happy I could declare unto everyone the feast of Jehovah too. And the reason why we put the branches over the sukkah, I'm going to explain that to you. If you go to Isaiah 4:2, it says, in that day shall the branch, tzemach, of Jehovah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. That branch right there is the Mashiach, the Messiah. Okay? You should know that. That's Isaiah 4, verse 2. Jeremiah 33:15 says, in those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness, that's tzemach tzedakah, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. That's another verse that's talking about Messiah. You should know that, okay? He's known as the branch of righteousness, the branch of Jehovah. So I want you to know those verses. That's the reason why we put the branches over the sukkah. We want the branch of the Lord to preserve us and take care of us. Here's Zechariah, just to show you this is all through the Bible. Hear now, O Joshua, Yehoshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. He says, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And that word right there is Natzer. Natzer. Isn't that interesting? And Zechariah 6:12 says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh Jehovah Tzavaot, saying, behold, the man whose name is Tzemach, the branch, he shall grow up out of this his place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah. And if you read some of the letters, Apostle Paul breaks down that we are a building fitly growing up into a temple of the Lord. All of us, even though we're individual temples, but we're growing up, we're in this, if you could try to imagine, which is not really, it's not vain of me, imaginations, but we're in a temple of the Lord. We are in the body. We're in the kingdom of the Lord right now. He's supposed to be. And God is our captain. And one day we will really be with God. And here's another one in Isaiah 11. It says the branch, Messiah, Netzer, isn't Messiah known as the Nazarene? And that's sort of a play on words, Netzerin. And it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, a Netzer, shall grow out of his roots. The word Netzer is a shoot, figuratively a descendant, a branch. That's what that means. So he's the branch, the descendant of God. In other words, the word of the Lord made flesh. You understand? Matthew 2:23 says, and he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled by which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. And that Nazarene is the story of a real Nazarene that is separate from sin, the Nazarene. And it also sounds like it's the Netzer. And it also sounds like it's the branch, which is separate to God. And it all goes together. And you could study that little study there on the word branch. And that's the whole reason. It isn't like we're just throwing branches on the top of a tent. No, no. Try to picture like these branches are the Messiah. And we want him to protect us and cover us in our life. That is really symbolic, and that's in the Bible, okay? We want the branch of righteousness to be with us, right? He's called the branch of the Lord. He's called the branch of righteousness. And in the book of Acts, it says, we have found this man a pestilent fellow. That's what they were saying. And moreover, a mover of sedition all among the Jews throughout the world, this apostle Paul, and he's the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. The Nazarenes just means the separate ones to God. That's all that means. And that's not a religion, even though nowadays they made the Nazarene religion. That's not what it's talking about. That doesn't mean go make a religion called the Nazarenes. It just means they're separate to God. If you read all about a Nazarite, you'll know what a Nazarene is. And they're from Nazareth. And then it goes back to Netzer. So all these words have a relationship to each other. Believe me, I didn't just know that. It took a long time to study that. That wasn't just a one-day deal. So don't go, wow. It took me a while to gather that information. You got to read a little bit of Hebrew because I really want to get into it more, you know, about the Hebrew.
Somehow you're not on the mic anymore.
I'm not on the mic. What?
I don't see you anyway.
You don't see me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's double check everything. Okay, can everyone hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Well, I don't know where you lost me, but...
I think just now.
No. The Feast of Ingathering is at the end of the year, going towards the end of the year, and it's not New Year's as Judaism and many Messianics state. You know, it's sad that, you know, I feel sorry for my brothers and sisters in Judaism and the Messianics, because I don't know why all those real intelligent Jews that created so many things... They can't read the Hebrew scriptures right. They're just blinded from the truth. So this has nothing to do with intelligence. This has to do with the Spirit of God. Anyway, Hag HaAsif Batzeit Hashanah. That's what that says right there. It's the feast at the end of the year. Okay? And I was looking at this today. I was thinking in Exodus 23:14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. See, there's only... Three times, there's not seven feasts of the Lord, okay? Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, one. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Ha'aviv. And Ha'aviv is the newness of the barley harvest. For it says, for in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty, okay? So that's really important. In other words, like... That's the first feast, okay? Very important. And then we have the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, okay? That's the Feast of Weeks. And then we have the Feast of Ingathering, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're doing right now, which is at the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of thy field. Feast of Harvest, by the way, is the wheat. And then the Feast of Ingathering is everything else that's needs to be harvested, okay? So three times, these are the three feasts. You got that? Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles. Or Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Harvest, and Feast of Ingathering. Those other two feasts have two names, okay? And they're all harvests. They're all harvest times. They're all harvests. So we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the barley harvest. The Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, is the wheat harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles is the Feast of Ingathering, harvest of everything else. Okay? Everyone should have that memorized. Because Ha'aviv means the newness of the barley. That's Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the Feast of Harvest, which is the Feast of Weeks, is the wheat harvest. And then, of course, the final harvest. Think of the final one that we're doing today. In someone's lifetime, it's going to be the end of the world. We'll be with the Lord right now, not with me. Matter of fact, I don't want to be here, but we'll be tabernacling with the Lord throughout eternity. I know that's really hard to understand, but that's real. Sounds fake, doesn't it? Imagine really being with the Lord. You know, last week I was just getting a glimpse, just a little glimpse of, I couldn't stop thinking about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And these are the generations of the heavens when God created them. And I couldn't stop thinking, but what was before that? Where were you before that? When there was no heavens and no earth? I can't think, was God in something? Or is he all engulfing? I know he always was, but you can't even imagine, like, he just decided to create this thing called the heavens and the earth one day. There's no time, it's just right there. I don't know if you know geometry and stuff like that. There's planes and a point on a plane. It's just like, you know, it's just like right there, but there's no beginning and no ending. He created the heavens and the earth. It's wild to think. My mind was starting to hurt because you can't know that answer. You can't know the answer. Because it isn't like, I kept thinking, is God in something? But then I thought, but then that had to be a something else that he created. You know what I mean? Because there is nothing besides him. And he is all in all, it says. Whatever that means. You understand? Like, is he in something or is it just him? And he is everything. Can you understand that?
No.
No. Okay. I don't understand it either. Nope. Anyway, there's three feasts and three harvests. There they are. And it turns out to be which is, which was, and which is to come.
Which was, which is, and which is to come.
Which was, which is, and which is to come. And let's just read it. Let's read it in
the order of the feast.
Yes. In the order of the feast. But anyway, in Revelation, it says, John, to the seven churches, the seven groups of people that were set apart to God, which are in Asia, and that's Asia Minor, grace unto you and peace, that's chesed v'shalom, to you, elechem, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. That's where I got that from. Which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which were before his throne. How about that? Because a lot of people, you know, we're only taught three. And there's probably a lot more to God than we can imagine. Excuse me, would you mind standing up there? Okay, that would be great. Otherwise, you'll distract me. Okay. God says right here, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And does everybody know what Alpha and Omega stands for? Yeah, but I know, do you know what language that is? That's Greek. Greek. So he's the Alpha and the Omega in the Greek. He's the Aleph and the Tav in the Hebrew, right? He's the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come. That's what I wrote. Which is and which was. That's where I got that from. Nope. You guys were all wrong. Because I got it right from the Bible. Right. Anyway. There it is right there. Those are the three times, which is, God always is, okay? And which was, he was on this earth, and he is going to come back. So there was, you know, it's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter to you because it's very long. But I want you to understand in chapter 29 of the book of Numbers, there's a whole little story there about the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if you ever read it. Chapter 29. So, but I'm going to tell you on the seventh month, the first day, of course, is the blowing of trumpets, right? It's the memorial of blowing the trumpets. It even says that in Numbers, chapter 29. Look at that. It's a day of blowing trumpets unto you. Okay? Now, I want to move down to, let's see, right here. On the 15th day, verse 12, of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. There it is again. You shall do no civil work. That means no work at all. And you should keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. That's the book of Numbers. What I like about this, the feasts are everywhere, you know. It says, now, you don't have to read all this, but I'm just going to show you this real quick. The first day, we have 13 young bullocks, okay? This is on my website. You can go look at it later. Second day, you have 12 bullocks. Now, so we're starting from 13, then we're going to 12, okay? The third day, we have 11.
Everything else is the same.
The fourth day, we have 10. Mm-hmm. The fifth day, we have 9. Mm-hmm. The sixth day, we have 8.
Seventh
day, we have 7. Eighth day is a solemn assembly. Okay, we have one bullock.
Yep.
and one ram, come to think of it. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is, I was doing this one day, and this, I don't know if it's just accidental or it was, I don't know if this is my a coincidence, but comes to a total of 70 bullocks. And if you take off that zero, you have seven. And then there's a total of 98 lambs of the first year without blemish. And there's a total of 14 rams. So if you take your 70 and your 98 and your 14, it equals 182. All these numbers are divisible by seven. Total goats for sin offerings, seven. Okay? All I'm trying to say is that seven is so important because we always think the history of man is 7,000 years. We always think that the end of the world is in the seventh month. And we also do the Sabbath every week, which is the seventh day. And the seven is just like, when I did this little math, I don't know if that's a coincidence or a play on numbers, but it's actual numbers. It's not. I didn't make that up. Also, and then also, this all these other meat offerings and drink offerings you're supposed to do. And I added up this too. There's three tenth deals times 70 bullocks equals 210 over 10. Two tenth deals times 98 rams is 196 over 10. Seven tenth deals, one tenth times 14 lambs equals 14 over 10. And 210 plus 196 plus 14 equals 420 divided by 10 or 42, which is divisible by 7. That's what I'm trying to get at. Forget all those numbers. But this is the kind of stuff I do for hours, in case you wonder what I'm doing. You think I'm watching TV. No, I'm doing stuff like this a lot of times. And it takes... But besides the continual burnt offerings and the meat offerings thereof and the drink offerings, which is also divisible by seven. Isn't that amazing? Okay, would you answer this? This is the Sabbath. Tell them I said Shabbat Shalom. So I don't know if you find that kind of stuff interesting, but all you should think about is all those things that you read that might sound redundant, the meat offering, the drink offering, this. If you really take a mathematical look at it, the whole thing is divisible by seven, which is, to me, sort of miraculous because that's what we're talking about, the number seven. Anyway, hope you understood what I was talking about. Now we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, which happens to also add up to seven, right? Six and one? Okay. It says, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." And today we're supposed to rejoice in the feast, us and our sons and our daughters and our men servants and our maid servants and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within your gates. Everyone's supposed to be rejoicing today. Isn't it a shame we didn't teach our sons and daughters and relatives? They don't know nothing about this because they're all supposed to be rejoicing today. Look at this. It says it right there. It says, 7 days you're supposed to keep a feast unto Jehovah thy God in the place which Jehovah shall choose, because Jehovah thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thine hands, which thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose. Again, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And you shall not appear before the Lord empty on these feasts. Today's the day you're supposed to give an offering unto God. Amen. And here's where it says it. Every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of Jehovah thy God, which he had given you. Thee. So whatever God gives you today, the three feasts you're supposed to give an offering. That's very important. And that's, to us, it's like, that's nothing, God. You know. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose, today we're supposed to read the Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, children, thy stranger that's within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of this Torah. And that the children, their children, and your children, which have not known anything, Let them come that they may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. Ah, it's terrible. Nobody's done this because nobody knew, because nobody read the Bible. Now we go to Zechariah 14. You guys are very familiar with this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off. But I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but I do want you to make sure you even understand. A lot of Christians even know this. It says, Jehovah my God shall come and all his saints with him. Okay, that's verse 5. But the thing that's very interesting in it, there's going to be one Lord and one king over all the earth. But it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's very interesting to me because it ties back to the last chapter I think I was reading, that in the end, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is such an important thing. I'm trying to bring across what it's all about. It's the last harvest. And if you don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles with the one king, the one Lord over all the earth and heaven, you're lost. But anyway, you could read this chapter. It's a little bit more involved than I can explain. It's all talking about keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I've actually heard some of these so-called pseudo-Christians talk about this chapter, but they don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles either. Just think, all the people should be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles today. But that means they would have had to keep the Sabbath today. And that's a little bit too much for them. Anyway, these are all the punishment of the people that don't come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't that interesting? You get a punishment if you don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I didn't say that. God, that's the Bible, right? This is a very involved chapter. You can read it slow yourself. Maybe God will reveal more unto us as time progresses. But anyway, so now we're awaiting the second coming of the Messiah, who's known as the Son of Man. And he comes with the clouds of heaven, which one day is going to be the last harvest. One day. And I got all these verses from here. Book of Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. In Matthew 24, it says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they're going to see the Son of Man, just like Daniel, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Isn't that amazing? So Matthew is quoting Daniel right there. I don't know if you noticed that. Matthew 26 says, Yeshua said unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I said, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man, talking about himself. He's going to be sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in the desert. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye is going to see him. Matthew 4:13 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Mark says the same thing, another witness. Jesus said, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Praise the Lord. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, Jehovah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds. Where? Who's going to be there? To meet the Jehovah, the Lord, in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Yay! Yay! Yay. Yeah. You could say that again.
That's going to be so exciting.
Revelation, John says, Brother John was banished to this island, the island of Patmos. He says, behold, Messiah cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And again, just like the other chapters, all the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Even so, amen. That's not a good way. When you're wailing, that's not good. He's going to come back with a rod of iron. Very scary. Anyway, on to more happier things. Mm-hmm. Our sukkah is a shadow of our future home. Revelations 21. Here's our future home, everyone. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, which is the tabernacle, of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. We will tabernacle with God, yes. In Isaiah 65, it says, the God says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 66:22 says, as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Jehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And then Peter quotes these verses, because Peter knows them very well. He says, nevertheless, we according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then, of course, in Revelations 21, verse 1 says, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. How about that? John. So we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. We're talking about the end time reaping. And we're talking about being with the Messiah, tabernacling with him throughout eternity. Another gathering at the end, the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the year's end. There it is right there. John 7:2 says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. If you read John chapter 7, it's all about the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know why Christians don't do it, because Jesus was doing it right there in chapter 7 of John. And a Jew is someone that's, it's not just outwardly, but inwardly. It says right there. Mm-hmm. Apostle Paul tells that to the Romans. You see that? Yes. A real Jew. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, John the Baptist said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's that fire I was talking about. Whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, and he shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And there's that gathering the wheat right there, that end time harvest. He's going to gather the wheat. See that? Mm-hmm. This gathering. Mm-hmm. Another parable put he forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed seed in the field. And while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blades were sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants and the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then had it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go and gather them up? He said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto when? Harvest. Yes, the last harvest. Ha'asif. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first who?
The tares.
The tares are going first. Bye. And bind them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat into my barns. Just like it was in the days of Noah, who was taken first? The evil. Who was left? Noah and his family. That's the opposite of what the church teaches. That's the opposite of what those phony books, the Left Behind series, teaches. But you got to read the Bible. That's how simple it is to get the truth. Who gets gathered together first? Says it right there. Look, first the tares, not second the tares. Okay. See, all these people got this wrong idea that they're going to get raptured today out of the golf course or the grocery store, and the evil is going to be left. No, it's the opposite. Another heresy. Matthew 24 says, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth." Messiah is not in the desert. If they say he's in the secret chambers, they always say the secret chambers because it sounds mystical. No, don't believe it. You know why? For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines forth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's not going to be no, he's not going to sneak upon anybody. He's going to come and shock you. Every eye is going to shock you at that time. It says, wheresoever the carcass is, in other words, all these people that are dead, there will the eagles be gathered together. Carcass is a dead body. Now, it says right here, immediately after the tribulation of those days, oh, there was tribulation. How about that? It even says, these are they that were that came out of great tribulation and that washed their robes and made them white through the blood of the Lamb. So there has to be, you had to be in the tribulation to come out of the tribulation, right? But that's another heresy that goes on in the pagan Protestant world. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon's not going to give her light. Of course not. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The powers of heaven are going to be shaken. And what's going to happen after that? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth, they're going to mourn. The other verses say they're going to be, yeah, it's going to be frightening no matter who you think you are. At that time, it's frightening. They're going to see, they're actually going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Could you imagine actually seeing that?
Incredible.
And he's going to send forth his angels with the sound of what?
Trumpet.
A trumpet. And they shall gather. There's the gathering, the ha'asif, together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, so he's going to come with all his holy angels, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered, there's that gathering again, all nations, and he's going to separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall say set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left, and the king shall say unto them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. It's always the Father, which is inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. Wow. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or a stranger and took you in, and naked and clothed you? When did we do that? Or when saw when did we see you sick or in prison, came unto thee? And then the king, who's really the king, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, not a bunch of devils, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, which I don't want to be on that part. Imagine him saying this, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. But now you're going to go there. You know why? I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he says, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away. Imagine this going away into everlasting punishment. Wherever that is. Picture like just going into oblivion in the sky, just into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life eternal. So everyone's going to have eternal life. I'm almost finished. Mark 13. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all these things. That was a hard sentence. Let me say that again. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun's going to be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Oh, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he's going to send his angels, and they're going to gather Ha'asif, together his elect from the four winds, from the one part of heaven, from the uttermost part of the earth to the utmost part of heaven. Anyway, this Feast of Tabernacles, we are getting ready for the last ingathering, the last gathering. And the Feast of Tabernacles, I'm happy that we're here, but I'm saddened we're here, because I'd rather tabernacle with the Lord. No offense. But I mean, we'd all be there. We'd all be tabernacling with the Lord. Anyway, God bless you. If you have any questions, there's so many other things to talk about, but I touched upon so many things. Try to go over what month we're in. Try to go over what the name of the month means. Try to go over what the whole thing about the branch means. Try to understand what that's all about. Try to understand so many things I talked about. Try to understand all those animals and things that are offered, how they are divisible by seven. Try to understand the Feast of Tabernacles in the 7 years, that whole study. It all goes together, and it's all about the Messiah, and it's all about the end of the world. So believe it or not, we just had a study about the end of the world and the end of time. Like a lot of people, they always don't understand that this is about the end of time. Real prophecies that one day in someone's lifetime, the trumpet's really going to sound, and then people are going to actually be looking up, and they're going to see him coming with the clouds of heaven. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine actually looking at the sky there, and all of a sudden you see something popping out of there with power and glory? Everyone down here is going to be wailing, especially if he didn't keep his commandments. Oh man, it's too late to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." You can't say that. It's too late. It's finished. That's why we do the feast of the blowing of trumpets, and you better be atoned if you want a tabernacle with the Lord. I feel sorry for all the people that don't know this. Anyway, I'm going to say shalom to everybody. God bless you. Shabbat shalom. Have a Chag Sameach. Have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. If you have any questions or comments, I'm going to open the room. Let me just shut some of these things off so we could talk. I'm going to go to the audio real quick. And I'm going to say, God bless you. We're One of Messiah. Go to our website. That's oneofmessiah.net. I'm going to stop.